Ramsey TV.
Well, let's finish up on the theme of politics here. Might as well, I seem to be on a roll. This is Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. As I've been telling you, I wrote a book in 2018 called Beyond Politics, What to Do While We're Here. I recommend you getting it. It will give you peace in these troubled times. Jesus said this in John 18:36. I alluded to it yesterday. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my deputies also would have contended, lest I should be given up to the Jews. Yet now is my kingdom not hence." That was John 18:36. Like our Lord, our kingdom is not here, or else we'd be fighting to preserve it. It's not going to be preserved. But as I said before, there are things we can do to make it better, but it's not going to be preserved. It's going down. So as the prophet says, hide a little while until the indignation is past. The Lord's kingdom was not of this world then. It's not of this world now. And Peter wanted to fight. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he picked up the sword trying to defend the Lord. But Jesus rebuked him. And he would have rebuked anybody at that late hour, or any hour really, who would fight to rescue him from the inevitable, from what the prophets foretold. It couldn't be avoided. And anybody who fights in such a way sadly mistakes this present world as the field of Christ's reign. This present world. The future world, the 1,000 years, yes, that will be Christ's reign. But this world is relatively reigned over by Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. We are in a foreign land under a foreign administration. We have a secret administration that operates within this foreign administration. The foreign administration is Satan's. The secret administration is Paul's. The gospel of Paul, the grace of God. God is conciliated to the world. That's our message. But in spite of overwhelming scriptural prophecy and testimony, many people today, especially only the religious ones, think that Jesus' kingdom is of this world, and they're fighting for it. They're striving. Get this, they're striving to make sure that our Lord has a clean world to come back to. There's a line from A.E. Nock in his commentary that really, I repeated it many times, not often enough. The concern of Christianity today is sin, self, and sanitation. That's what they're all about. And they're wrong on every count. They're fighting something that Christ has already taken care of, sin. They're trying to improve themselves when Paul speaks of the death of the old humanity and that we're a new humanity and that we're supposed to live in new humanity truth in spite of carrying around an old humanity body. And they want to sanitize the world. They want to clean it up for Christ. So he has a nice place to come back to. That he has a nice world system that's set up beautifully for him. We've prepared the earth for you, Jesus. It's safe to come down now. That's not how it's going to happen. Jesus Christ is not coming down to congratulate people for doing a nice job while he was away. I'll take it over from here, kids. No. He's not going to use this system. He's just going to destroy the system before he comes. He's going to destroy this system before he comes. So Christianity, big surprise, is doubly ignorant. Not only are they like the housewife, you've heard of this, the housewife who hurries to clean up the house before the maid comes. The maid's coming, I got to make sure everything looks nice. Well, the maid's coming to clean the house, but I want the house to look nice for the maid. I got to admit, folks, I do the same thing. I mean, when I give my writing over to editors or spell checkers, I'm doing that now with volume one of the Romans series. I want it to look nice for the editors, but the editors are there to fix it. But I have a certain pride that I want everything to be great. But it needs to be great for the reader. And standing in between me and the reader is the editor, spell checker, and so I have to let it go. So not only are these Christians trying to clean the house before the maid comes, that is, make the world a righteous place before the return of Christ, but they're cleaning the wrong house. They're cleaning this world, the same world that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world, but they love this world. And so they're trying to fix this world for him. There is something that I call in this book the gospel of America. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my country. I love my neighborhood. My little neighborhood here is called, what the heck is my neighborhood called? Croissant Park. Croissant Park. I love my neighbors. I say hi to them. They walk their dogs. And I love my country. Just like I loved my family. Just keep extending the thing out. You love your family. You take care of your family. You live in a neighborhood. You live in a community. You want your community to be free of crime. You want it to be nice. So you do your part. You report suspicious activity. You want your neighborhood to be nice. And then you want your state to be a good state. You don't want to live in a state that punishes capitalism. You don't want to live in a state with high taxes. You want to live in a state that gives people as much freedom as possible. And now you just extend that to the country. But I know that the whole thing has to crash. See, I still know that. But in the interim, I'd like to lead a mild and quiet life. I'm not going to lose my peace over it, but I'd like to lead a mild and quiet life. I used to not vote. I went 30 years without voting, but my premise was wrong. And I think some of you have this premise, and I hope to correct you, to disabuse you of this idea that, well, God knows who's going to be in charge. God knows who the leaders are. Why vote? That's completely the wrong reason not to vote. That's like saying, well, God knows whether my kids are going to grow up good or not, so I'm just not even going to bother raising them. I'm going to let them stay out all night when they're 10 years old. I'm going to let them eat whatever they want for breakfast. God knows how they're going to turn out anyway. He's in charge of my kids. Would you do that? No, of course you wouldn't do that. So you don't do it for the country either. So I went like maybe 25 years not voting for that reason, and I realized that was fatalistic. It was wrong. Then the reason I didn't vote was because, and this is a right reason, because in order to vote, you have to be aware of the issues. In order to be aware of the issues, you have to pay attention to politics. And I don't recommend anybody pay attention to politics. I want you to be ignorant of politics. And so if you're ignorant of politics, you shouldn't vote. Just don't vote. Doesn't matter whether I vote or not. God's person is going to get in. That's fatalism. Stop it. Stop it. Of course God knows who's going to get in. Of course he is. Just like God told Paul when he was on the ship in the hurricane that everybody's going to be saved, Paul. Every soul of this ship will be saved. A verse later, one verse later, after Paul hears that from an angel of the Lord, he goes out and he sees some of the mariners throwing out lifeboats to get off the ship. And Paul says, unless you stay in this ship, you're all going to die. What? The angel of the Lord just told you that everybody's going to be saved. But part of them being saved was Paul telling them to stay in the ship or they would die. That belonged to the will of God being accomplished. The intention of God being accomplished depended on Paul telling people to stay in the ship. And I don't even think Paul was consciously aware of it. As I told you many times, we believe in the absolute, but we live in the relative. You have to live in the relative. So Paul goes out there. He's a seasoned mariner, and he sees these morons trying to put boats out, lifeboats, get off the ship, and he can't help himself. He could have said, the angel of the Lord said everybody's going to be saved, so let them do what they want. It doesn't matter. I could shoot them all, and they're still going to be safe somehow. They're not going to die. The bullet will miss them. Bullet, yeah, you know what I mean. But Paul is involved in the activity. He's a participant in the event. And as a seasoned mariner, he can't stand to see people doing something this stupid. So he says, unless you stay on the ship, you'll be lost. You're all going to die, unless you follow my advice. See? It's not contradictory. It all works together. And so, yes, God knows who is going to be the leader of any given country at any given time. But it's still reasonable to vote. You're a fatalist if you don't vote because God knows who's going to win. Well, when you go to your kid's basketball game, God knows who's going to win. So why are you cheering for your kid? Why are you cheering every time your team scores a basket? Why? I want you to just sit there with your hands folded, not even participate, because God already knows who's going to win. So why should you be in it? Why should you be excited? Why should you hope Johnny hits the three-pointer? Why should you hope that Cindy makes the foul shot? Same thing. So go ahead and vote. Vote. It's part of it. But if you're not informed on the issues, don't vote. That's all I got to say on that. So I'm going to now say something kind of against my country. Kind of. In that the Christians of this nation who want to make this a godly nation, bring this nation back under God, they're using Old Testament verses to do that. God told the people, when you face my house and pray, and I will restore this land. His house was the temple. Well, that temple doesn't exist anymore. But these Christians, just like they try to do the law, they ignore the fact that they have to bring sacrifices to the temple. They ignore that fact, and they pretend to do law. And those things that are impossible to do because there's no temple, they just kind of ignore that part. And they do the same thing with this gospel of America. They ignore the fact. I think the verse is in 2 Chronicles or something. If my people who are called by my name will call upon my name and look toward my house and whatever else, I don't know, do the law, I will bless them and restore their nation. They're banking on that. It's old covenant stuff. And the old covenant is done. It's finished. Christians, the old covenant is not in force. It's been abrogated. It is going to be changed to a new covenant when God puts his law on the hearts of the nation Israel. Nothing you do, no pamphlets you print or signs you make are going to enlighten the nation of Israel. DJT is not going to enlighten the nation of Israel. No human politician can enlighten the mind of Israel. It's going to take a miracle of God. And it is when God writes his law on their hearts. It's called the new birth. What they don't know is that God has already made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. They don't know this. They're looking for peace via political means. They don't know that God has already made peace through the blood of his cross, and that God, because of the cross of Christ, has already conciliated to the world, 2 Corinthians 5. They don't know that. So their gospel is the gospel of America, and the gospel of America promotes personal freedom and a constitutional guaranteed right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm for these things. I'm for personal freedom, if you can get it, if you can keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said. I'm for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I like my country. I like being happy, if only I was. What I'm against are these fleshly advantages, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that people promote and exalt over the transcendent peace of Christ that is available to all, that is actually in God's mind applies to all, but because of a lack of realization of the truth, people don't know it. And this peace exists irrespective of national allegiance. The gospel of America is sick, really. Not that part. That part's good. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all for it. Great concepts. The gospel of America that I despise is that which would accumulate wealth. The gospel of America that I don't like is the acquiring, improving, and maintaining material wealth. There is a high calling to this false gospel in America, and it's financial independence. Oh, that's what everybody wants, financial independence. That's the true freedom that every American is looking for. The old 401k, the old retirement plan. Ooh, financially independent. Now I'm secure. Now I'm safe. Now I can dwell in safety. I filled my barns, and now I can dwell in peace and safety. That's the gospel of America. The stock market. Your 401k. I'm telling you, if you put any stock in the stock market or in your 401k, then you are leaning on a bruised reed that is going to break. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to borrow a text from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. It's a passage we know well. You'll recognize it when I start reading it. But the reason you might not recognize it is because I'm going to alter it, and I'm going to call it a passage from America's hypothetical holy book. And I want to call this hypothetical holy book the Great American Dream. And it would read this way. I am deeming all to be refuse, that I should be gaining further material advantage over my peers in this world, and may be found in America, living in a large house with a two-car garage, and eventually delivered from my crippling mortgage, and to have faith not in myself, but in the banking systems of this world, and the interest rates, which are from the Fed, which is all of faith, and to know my president and state representative, and the power of their influence, and the fellowship of their service to me, conforming myself to their decisions. But far from happy with most of them, if somehow I should be attaining to the financial independence that is out from among the dead. Not that I have already attained it or have already perfected my portfolio, yet I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also that for which I was grasped also by Success Magazine. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped true success, that is, financial independence. Yet one thing, forgetting indeed the peaceful and quiet things which are behind, yet stretching forward to the stress-inducing financial goals in front of me, toward the goal am I pursuing for the prize of the high calling of financial independence. Whoever then are bent upon ulcers, heart attacks, and startlingly high blood pressure numbers may be disposed to this, and if in anything you are differently disposed, I envy you.